Back on Filter, and I do believe I have the one and only Dave Soup Salisbury on the line with me. Dave, are you there?
Oh, yeah. How you doing, Paul?
Oh, man, I'm doing much better now that I listened to that song where other people are suffering through quarantine and quarantine issues, and then now hearing your voice once again booming through the airwaves, taking over everyone's radio station for the next hour. It gives me great pleasure to bring you back here, Dave.
Oh man, I appreciate it. I was listening to part of the program about the poverty stuff earlier, and they were saying something about like starting your day, and I said, starting my day? I start my day like at 3 a.m. Like, I'm just saying, like who says I have to start 8 to 5? So I'm still waking up, so you'll have to...
I'm with you. I started worrying at 3 a.m. today. I was starting to worry, and I was awake, and I was like, oh, yeah, you know?
Aww.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, but that can be part of life sometimes. I mean, normally, yeah, I sleep through the night, but then there's times where it's like, oh, God, you know, why is it the middle of the night that we have to work through these things in our brain, you know? Mine was mostly, like, work-related, but still, it was, like, enough to, like, get my... you know, take me away from my sleep and my rest.
Oh yeah. It I'm going to pick up meds today for Mrs. Beasley, you know, my cat.
Yes. Is she here with us right now?
Well, yeah, she always is. You should know that.
Right.
Yeah. And she's actually sound asleep, but when you said, oh yeah, Soup's cat, she's all, it's Mrs. Beasley, yeah. Not Soup's cat.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Beasley. I'd like to apologize.
She's an old broad. But I was in bed, and I'm thinking, okay, I have to go get her meds. And I feel embarrassed to say this, and I'm kind of like looking around, you know, for maybe a used car or something.
Mm.
And I was like, Soup, your heart's beating, and plus I had a cup and a half of coffee before I went to bed last night.
Oh.
But I was thinking, Soup, you have first world problems.
Mm-hmm.
I got my two COVID shots because I'm a mental health worker, so I got my two COVID shots right away. I'm relatively healthy, but here I was in bed and I was like getting nervous.
Mm.
And I'm going, oh yeah, you just have that self-centered fear, and that's okay. I get afraid, dude. I get it.
Yeah, yeah. That's important to remember. Like you're saying, like you can have all these, everything's going right in your life, and you know you shouldn't feel guilty about feeling off or feeling out. You know,
and I don't have to figure it out. And when you shared earlier, that reminded me. You know, because you said something like, what's going on? I got to, you know, was it the meatballs I ate or whatever it was? And I thought, oh, my God, that's me. And I know years ago, one of my guys in my support crew back in California said, Soup, you don't have to figure it out.
Mm.
And I go, oh. And you don't have to fix it.
Mm.
Like, oh, okay. And that's still tough for me. Because
yeah.
I want to fix it.
Yeah, same.
You know, because then I'm in control.
Right, yeah.
I'm in control, and I've got it going on, and I'm macho, and I'm a male, and I can handle everything. No, I can't.
Well, let's...
But it'll get me loaded. Anyway.
Let's talk more about that, because that's interesting to me, and I think it's important. Because I'm one of those people that's like, okay, I'm feeling a certain way. You know, like, you know, how do I fix it, or how do I change it? And I've learned going through the years, it's like, no, you're going to feel this way. Like, you don't make these feelings go away. You learn how to ride them, and you learn how to maybe intellectualize them, or at least like soften the feelings that come from them. Right.
Oh yeah. I mean, I'll be at Safeway and I'll think, you know what? I can probably walk out with this, case of spring water and some cat litter, and I could also hop over the pharmacy and grab a bunch of pills. I mean, I'll think stuff like that, and that's okay. I have no control. You know, I've got that defect in my head.
Yeah.
You know, I've got, or just thought. But now, do I act on it? No, but I think it.
Yeah.
You know, and then the next 5 minutes later, I'll think a beautiful thought. Yeah. And I'll think, soup, how about Stephen King? You know he must be thinking all kinds of stuff. Hello.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's scary.
Yeah.
But I've gotten more familiar with it. It's more familiar now. And so, like when I did my walk last night, you know, I walk around the block, and after two laps, it's like, oh, yeah, soup, oh, yeah. Maybe it's time to kind of breathe and look at the stars. And a lot of bunny rabbits lately, by the way, in Portland. Tons of bunny rabbits. And I looked at the bunny rabbits, and it made me think of my dad and Granny Soup, my mom, you know, who passed away. And I go, oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Maybe that's my mom and dad, or maybe it's God or Buddha, whatever it may be, you know. But I forget that I'm not in control. I forget that, oh, I'm kind of just a peon, you know.
Yeah.
And then I'll look up and try to, like, are those satellites up there? Because, you know, he launched all those satellites.
He did.
And I thought, you know, one of those could fall on the ground here. I mean, I'm not in control. But I forget that.
Right.
Anyways, I feel like I'm rambling.
No, I love it. I think it's so important.
It?
Yeah, because it is something where I felt like I had to. I think there was a part of my life where I was the most unhappy, where I was like, everything bad that happens to me is my fault, and it's something based on a decision that I've made, right? You know, at some point, and there's a lineage to the decision, and you know, if I'm not feeling good about my life or the way my life is going, that it's completely and entirely my responsibility. And I mean, there are times where I really did need to make a change, right? But
yeah.
I at the same time, it's like that change came. It wasn't like it didn't come from agony. It just came from, like, I don't know, the things aligning to point out that was the problem, right? You know, and right now, like, all my problems are based around things that I literally have no control over, you know, like and you know, maybe there's some moments where I'm like, oh, I'm not doing enough. But then also it's like I've been here before, and I know from previous experience that the more I hand wring it, I may just end up feeling worse, you know, and I want to turn off my brain and not worry about all these little things. But you got to, it's an ongoing process, like you say. And yeah.
Oh yeah. It, you know, I don't usually do this in a public forum, but you know, I'm gonna break my anonymity. And you know, when I got clean and sober 20 years ago and 2 weeks or however long, because I just hit 20 years, and
wow.
You know, I was going through all this stuff, and my friend in California, I was crying, I was sad, I was bummed out. He says, "Don't worry, Soup. You know, Super Dave, it'll change. Don't know when. Don't know how, but it'll change." And I remember going, wait, well, I was so upset and distraught and all this fear and going through a divorce. My wife had left me, and, you know, because I kept getting loaded and all this. And it's true. It does change. And there are times where I feel good. Excuse me, and I don't know why, and then again, that's part of my, you know, my, I don't want to say that I'm always spiritually connected, but that's part of my, there's sometimes I feel good, and I don't know why, there's times I feel bad, and I don't know why, and I get to accept it, and I think I talked about this on Christmas. When I accept it, it doesn't mean I agree or disagree. It just, it is what it is. Like today it's windy. And I thought, oh, I wish it wasn't windy. I wish it was colder, because then I could build a fire. But I didn't build a fire. I just turned on the heat a little bit. And, you know, I can't control it. I can't control it. You know, my, again, higher power, God, Buddha, Allah, Goddess, whatever you want to call it, one of the attributes of it, it's mysterious, because there's days I wake up feeling great. Like, why am I feeling great? I didn't do anything. Oh, it just changes. Mm-hmm. And then the next day it might be crappy. You know, so and then there's times where, well, Soup, maybe you need to actively make a decision and stop putting chemicals into your body, you know, and so there are things I can do. You know, I could make a decision, you know, to go for a walk and feel better. I can make a decision to take, painkillers for a hangnail. I could make a decision like, well, no, you know, these are from an old surgery, and I could make a decision not to pick up a thing of booze or something, you know. And I'm just talking for me.
I'm talking for me.
You know, I go out and do the comedy shows and have fun and hang out with the big boy comics. And it, you know, it could be a couple days later where I go, oh, man, they were drinking and smoking, you know, cigarettes and weed outside. And a few people had pills, and that person had a little bit of coke. God, I haven't seen that since the 80s. You know, and then other times I'm at the club going, okay, I did my little comedy thing. It's time to go home. So I'll hang out in a comedy club 5 minutes up to 5 hours. It just depends. Like, okay, it's time to go. Not that I'm going to get loaded, but it's like you just feel it's just time to go. And I'm kind of transitioning all over. What else? People say, oh, you can't go to clubs. No, I go and have fun, and I've had people spill booze on me, and it's really fun when I've gotten off stage before, and I grab my Diet 7-Up or soda water, and I take a huge gulp of it on a hot summer night in a club, and my mouth is on fire, and it was booze.
Oh,
it was booze. And I did that once, and then I went to my job. I was working in California, they call it mental health counselor. I wasn't a case manager, and I'm definitely not a therapist or a doctor or a nurse, but I'm a mental health counselor. I'm right on the unit. I'm with clients. And I had booze on my breath, and I called my boss and go, hey, this is Soup. I go, just so you know, blah, blah, blah. And I got my mouth is on fire. And he starts laughing, you know. And then that night, you know, I'm doing my work. I did some janitorial work at the facility. And then I would make medication available, which meant if a client needed medication, I had it there. I didn't dispense it. They have like a whole verbiage they use. But, you know, what a trip.
Yeah.
You know, I used to be, you know, I get to help people with that. I hope. And now, by the way, I'm mental health. You see, I'm at Kitsap Mental Health, and I was hired on as a psychiatric aide. Which is very similar to mental health counselor. Again, not a doctor or a nurse or anything like that. And I'm just on the unit with clients. And, you know, for 8 hours, I get to, you know, lower my voice and just be with that person as they're going through their stuff. As my therapist used to say, you know, Soup, you're sorting through a lot of stuff. You know, he would tell me that, because he'd say, Dave, you're not crazy. Dave, you're sorting through a lot of stuff. And you could hear how I start slowing down. And it's hard. It's difficult for me to slow down. But I've learned to do that at work. Because I could spin people up. I think you or someone earlier said words like spin or spun.
Yeah.
No, I think it was spin. And I thought, oh, yeah. I mean, I could spin up myself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's been nice about work, is I get to, you know, like, I mean, I've had clients years ago and say, God, Soup, you're such a great listener. I'm thinking, oh, crap. But I know they're right because, as you can tell, like, I won't shut up here. It's very difficult to listen and just let the mega feels happen, as you said. And
right. But just, the people that are bad at listening, honestly, they don't acknowledge that it's hard to listen. They think it's easy because they don't actually know what listening is, right? And it's when you can be able to draw the distinction in your mind between being still as somebody else speaks versus, and I mean, I think to be a comedian like you, and you were a great comedian among other things, you have,
oh, thank you.
You have to be a good listener, right? You have to really take in what people say because you're not creating comedy in a vacuum. You're not just writing jokes. You are, you're taking in the world, you're taking in your experiences, and then you're spitting it back out in a way that hopefully people laugh at, but hopefully also makes people think too. I mean, that is what is good comedy without it making you think?
They'll destroy you. I was reading a thing on Angus Young, AC/DC, and I believe he's the one that does the Chuck Berry. You know, he bops back and forth on the stage. The reason why he did that and still does it was because, in the very beginning, he would, you know, people would throw cans or whatever, or boo him or try to attack him or whatever, and throw crap at him. And so he was so nervous, he would just move back and forth on the stage. And I totally get it. When you're on that stage, for myself, you know, I don't want to piss anybody off. And I mean, I'm rarely heckled. But, you know, I'm still a beginner. I still consider myself a beginner. And I don't want to be confrontational because I'm just not that type of performer. And others are, and I think it's way cool. But yeah, and then I'm slightly deaf in one ear. So, yeah, I loved what you said, Paul. Like, I have to listen because, you know, I'm a scared little boy.
Mm.
What the hell? Oh, this is Mrs. Beasley's vet. I'm not going to answer it. Oh, I knew they were going to call. It's my show. It's my show, and Mrs. Beasley's vet is calling. Am I still here?
Yeah, you are. I wish if we had better technology here, you know, if people would donate to kptz.org and go to donate now, we might be able to, in the future, have technology to patch in Soup's vet, Mrs. Beasley's vet,
while we're
live. That would be really fun.
Dude. Dude, I now don't even get me started on that. I don't know how my ex-wife was a small animal dietitian and who became a chemist of all things. Mm. And she might even be a doctor by now, no joke. But anyways, these people that work at a vet clinic, I couldn't do it. I mean, if it's happy, is your baby and the cat, they get their flea treatment. And they get their little pain med like Mrs. Beasley does, and she's all happy. But all that other traumatic, I couldn't do that.
Mm.
I'd rather work with people when they're processed.
Yeah.
You know, but so anyways, I was saying earlier that, you know, I'm a scared little boy on that stage, or scared little boy at work trying to just listen. I don't have to control it. I don't have to direct the show, and that's hard, man, because if I control it and if I direct the show and make you feel better or make that person laugh, then I'm going to feel better. So it's like when I was a little boy for baseball tryouts. You had T-League, farm, minors, and majors. Well, if you made the majors in Little League, you got to wear the full baseball uniform, okay? Mm. I never made the majors, and that's okay. I made farm league and minor league. Farm league, they gave me a shirt and a ball cap. Minor league, I got the little pants and a ball cap and a shirt, but I didn't get the coat, you know, the major league coat that they wear. And I always wanted to have that major league baseball outfit. If I only caught the ball better and hit the ball farther, I would have made the majors and gotten the big boy uniform.
Mm.
I'm still like that, age 59.
Mm.
You know, if I could be funny, then, you know, I could be hanging out with the big boy comics more, or if I could have a breakthrough with a client, I'm going to feel like I did it. No, I did not. Because so for me, it's this control thing.
Yeah.
You know, and you hit it on the nose. You helped me, Paul, when you said it's the little things.
Mm-hmm.
And when you were saying that, my opinion is, well, of course those little things affect Paul. He's a sensitive guy.
Mm.
You know, he's got his two kids and you know, you're working in your regular work and then you're doing all this community stuff. You know, I mean, you and I don't even hang out.
We hang out at Safeway when we run into each other.
You help me. What's that?
I said we hang out at Safeway when we see each other. I think in Safeway we talked for like an hour, and that was amazing.
And
that's like the best place to hang out with people in quarantine, right?
And I leave our conversations, and I'm feeling really good. And yet I'll be at home and, you know, be on my Facebook obsessively or be on the dating site obsessively or well, maybe I'll clean it. Well, maybe I won't clean it. And it's soup. Get up and move. Go
yep.
for a walk.
Yep.
Wash one dish.
Yes. Yeah. Make
maybe
your bed.
Call someone in your support group.
Yep.
You know. See, for me, you take away the drugs and the alcohol. And again, just for me, I'm not anti-drugs or out. I'm not. But for myself, for today, I can't do that. But you take that away, then soup shows up. Oh, okay, so now what do I do?
Right.
You know. And,
well,
you know.
Let's get deeper into talking about those kind of things, you know, in terms of what's happening in Washington right now and see if Mrs. Beasley wakes up after we play this yellow song that you brought us. Do you want to introduce the music you chose for our musical interlude here?
So I believe I picked one of my favorite groups, Art of Noise, right?
Nope. Although I love Art of Noise, you chose Yellow. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. I thought that was by Art of Noise.
Oh, is it? I thought it was by Yellow.
No. I'm probably wrong. No. Whatever video I sent for you last night, it is the one I'd love to hear, which most of us would know it from, Matthew Broderick and Ferris Bueller's Day Off, right?
Yeah. Yep. And so next time we'll rock an Art of Noise song because, yeah, Moments in
no,
Love.
No, but, so but I'm good. Glad you're going to play this one. You know why? Because I thought it makes me laugh.
Well, I need that, and we need that right now. And let's rock the track, and then we're going to get back and really laugh over some serious issues, okay?
Okay, and I'll just stay on the line here.
Yeah, stay on the line. We'll be right back. We're talking to Dave Salisbury, Dave Soup, a.k.a. sometimes Storm Boy Soup. Good friend, great heart, and hilarious comedian. Stay tuned to Filter on KPTZ 91.9 FM. This is Yellow. Oh, yeah.
Did you know that many of KPTZ's weekly news and public affairs programs are now available as Listen on Demand podcasts through KPTZ's website? Click on the red KPTZ podcast button at kptz.org to hear shows like Book Lovers Cafe, Bureaucracy Now, Attention Please, Everybody Can, Our Town, Critical Conversations, our weekly news magazine The Compass, and more. Also, KPTZ's daily news broadcast is available for replay on the website shortly after its airing. Stay informed, illuminated, and entertained on KPTZ. Radio truly does connect us all.
Oh yeah, chicka-chicka, oh yeah.
Sorry, I'm still singing. This is Filter, Paul Rice here, talking to Soup Salisbury. Soup, you still there?
Oh, yeah, I'm right here.
Oh, man, thanks for bringing that track. It's been so long since I watched Ferris Bueller's. Actually, I forgot about that song. I think I like that song better than I like that movie now. Is that a sin? I don't know. That movie's fine. I just watched it too much.
There's part where they're kind of chanting in the record And I think, oh yeah, I want to put my hands up like I'm at Woodstock. I mean, I was 7 years old, but you know, it's one of the things that, you know, just makes me feel good. And, yeah. And that's all I ever wanted with drugs and alcohol. I didn't want to get effed up.
Yeah.
I didn't want to get obliterated, even though I always ended up obliterated. But I just want to feel good.
Yeah. I hear you. And
so sometimes it's music and it's KPTZ, you know, seriously.
Right. Yeah. And if you can fall into the music hole instead of the drugs and alcohol hole sometimes. And I mean, you know, I have friends and family in recovery, and that's just it. Like, there are people that don't know when to stop, right? And the moments to stop aren't presented to them. And until there's a bottom, right? And there's no way around that bottom.
For myself, right. Yes, I had to hit a bottom. I hit a couple of them, but yeah.
And
yeah.
So,
and it's very mysterious. It's, you know, drug addiction, alcoholism. Again, I can't preface enough. I'm just speaking for myself.
Yeah.
I had many years where I pulled it. You know, I was at the beach and, you know, a wannabe surfer and, you know, hanging with the California gals and keg parties. It was all good. It was all good. But it progressively, the disease of addiction and alcoholism for me, it progressively just, it got a little less fun every month or every couple of years. And it just, and then it got really bad. And before I forget, you know, there's people, men and women, that drink and use drugs regularly, and they even may have a problem with it. But the difference between, and myself, alcoholic addict, is I am unable to change despite negative consequences. In other words, my ex-wife, David, if you keep doing this, I'm going to leave you, I'm going to divorce you. And she told me that and warned me that many times. I even went to treatment, and she goes, okay, if you ever do this again, well, you know, fast forward to February 20th or February 18th, 2001, she goes, I want a divorce, and she left.
Mm.
Now, other people that are not addicts, alcoholics, they'll say, oh, my God, my wife's going to leave. I better stop. Or, you know, gee, I got a driving under the influence. Boy, I need to stop drinking and driving. Like, I know people that have been arrested for driving under the influence. They are definitely not drug addicts, alcoholics. That they were able to change. They were able to change. And I kept going where, you know, I ended up in the psychiatric hospital in California 20 years ago for 3 days. And I still can't believe it. I mean, I'm the boy next door, you know, and
So, yeah, there's either jail for me or an institution, which I've been to one, or there's death or recovery. So I'm in recovery, not recovered. There's no cure for what I have. Mm. I just have a daily reprieve. You know, sometimes it's an hour reprieve. It just depends on what, yeah, I'm going through. It's a very self-centered disease. I mean, hello, I'm just talking about Dave. It's all about
no,
me. It's a very self.
But that's important. It's important for people to hear.
Very self-centered.
Well, and it's important for people to hear that personal experience, because I think that's the only way to relate. And I think being told what's right, told what you should do, told that this is bad for you is not the type of thing that helps people deal with their addictions, right? In fact, it might in certain cases make your addiction worse. So it has to be something, and even not you're not judging yourself. You're just saying, hey, you know, like embrace this part of yourself, but maybe learn to find a way to be healthier through it, you know, or to not try and say it's not me. And in this context, I want to bring up in our sort of our last little topic spin here, you know, about what we're going to talk about in the next hour with the prosecuting attorney of Jefferson County, James Kennedy, about how essentially simple possession of drugs has been legalized, or not legalized, decriminalized in Washington state now due to the Supreme Court. And I'm curious, you know, from you're somebody who works in mental health and has been through drug addiction and alcohol addiction and has, you know, do you see this having like a real negative impact on people who are using, people who are in crisis more so than normal? Like where do you stand on what's happening with this right now?
They have the marijuana stores. I've never been to one, but they have those, and I get very naive because it's been a while since I've been in that lifestyle, but I look at it, oh, okay, well, you can go to the, you know, 7-Eleven and buy a 40 ounce of beer, or you can go to the marijuana store and buy some marijuana. Apparently now you could have psilocybin magic mushrooms, and I don't think this little drug possession for nonviolent offenders, I don't really think it's serving the community to prosecute for something like that. Because again, there's so much alcohol out there. There's all the marijuana out there. Apparently, again, there's the mushrooms in Oregon. I think maybe they're getting legal here or whatever. I don't know if it serves to spend all that manpower and prosecuting people. I hope that we could allocate our resources for people like me, for example, or friends of mine that need treatment, that who want to go to detox. And it seems like whether it's Washington State or California, it's not always that simple to say, hey, I need to go to detox for 3 to 7 days and then go to a 30-day program, or, you know, an 18-month program. I'd like to see more of our money go there. And again, I'm not trying to be controversial. I'm definitely not promoting drug use. And by the way, our first painkiller was alcohol, and then I think it was ether, or you know, and then of course marijuana, extremely useful for, you know, and Marinol. I've had clients with that had,
right,
you know, end stage.
That's
cancer.
An interesting point.
And so it's very useful.
Yeah.
And I think of the word marijuana and my heart starts beating because I would get so paranoid. But I don't think, come on, Sue, get to the point. I don't think it serves us to be busting all these people.
Yeah.
Now, if they're bringing in, a case of methamphetamine, which, as we all know now, is cut with a lot of fentanyl, because it's cheaper to make. And what scares me about that is then the meth comes through without the fentanyl, and then people, their heart stops and dies. I know I've had a few friends this year pass away, so just like that. So I'm not sure if I'm answering your question.
No, you totally are. And so let me just, you know, thinking about the summary, what you're saying is that, you know, individuals who are possessing, you know, for their own use, whether or not they have a problem with addiction, which is something you sort of established, that some people can use these substances and then put them away. And not most people can't, but many people can. And then you have, I mean, I think it's also a really great point. And it's so interesting, and kind of just thinking about what I was, you know, just starting out the show and my feelings was like, yeah, all these things started, all these drugs, these addictions started with like stuff we used for painkillers, for surgery, or when we're hurting, you know, and this whole opioid epidemic really started because we're like, hey, let's just give all these people in pain opiates.
And I'm interrupting. I'm sorry.
No, go for it. Go for it.
You know, I'm a 60s kid, and they had me on Ritalin as a little boy. A lot of kids, boys and girls, were on Ritalin speed as a kid. My mother, you know, God rest her soul, Granny Soup, she was the wife of a naval aviator. And they said, Mrs. S, you need to lose a little bit of weight or whatever. So they gave her diet pills, you know, Ephedrine, while she was pregnant with me. That was very common. Now, again, is that why I became an addict alcoholic? I don't know. Does addiction run in my family? Yes. And by the way, most people in the world are not addict alcoholics, but most are regular drinkers, users, whatever. Some might even be problem users and drinkers, but they're not addict alcoholics. And then people like me are we're like, yes, there's tons of addict alcoholics, but then there's an even smaller group who are in recovery. So a lot of people, you know, they can drink, they can go to the liquor store, they can buy some weed, they take their hydrocodone after a head surgery as prescribed. They can do that, you know. So I wish they would just put more money for treatments when that person is ready. It's tough. I mean, it's. I'm going to quote Marilyn Manson, and people go Marilyn Manson, and I'm going off on a tangent. But they asked him in Rolling Stone magazine. I'm kind of diverting, you know, after the Columbine shooting. You know, he was supposed to go play in Littleton, Colorado and tour, and they canceled his show. And they go, Marilyn, these kids shot the place up, and what would you have done? You know, or all these people are getting loaded and they're listening to Ozzy and they bite heads off a bat, blah, blah, you know, and suicide solution and all this crap and drugs and alcohol. And you know, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Marilyn, tell us, you know, like, let's ask Marilyn Manson. And he does this whole long paragraph in Rolling Stone magazine, and he says, I wouldn't have told those kids anything. I would have listened to them. And so I'm looking forward to listening to the prosecutor later on your show. I mean, I'm hoping I could listen and learn more about it. I mean, I have my own story of addiction and recovery, but for me, and my crew of people, I'd like to see the money go towards treatment and not prosecution. But that's my reality. That's my story. It doesn't mean it's the other person's, you know. But of drugs, thank God they can be very useful. I mean, I've had head surgeries and hernia surgeries and colonoscopies and all kinds of medical procedures while in recovery. And in fact, I'm going in for now this next statement will give me a date, but I'm going for my colonoscopy at the end of March.
Woo!
And they're going to give me Versed and fentanyl, thank God, because they're going to have a long tube that you know goes where, you know. And thank God for that.
Seriously.
And our medical people, but it's my responsibility not to abuse it. Like, I get to tell them, hey, by the way, when you bring me out of this, I want you to know, as I said before, you know, addict, alcoholic, it's in my chart, blah, blah, blah. So it's my responsibility to stay out of trouble. But, you know, I think these pot stores, and we'll probably have mushroom stores someday. We'll probably have Vicodin stores someday. I think people are just going to, oh, I think I'll buy a beer and a candy bar and a couple of Vicodin. I mean, when I was doing it, it was all illegal.
Right.
So that made it more exciting.
Right.
You see.
Right.
It made it. Yeah. So I have no business telling you or him or her what to do. That's not my business. I could only take care of Soup here and Mrs. Beasley.
Well,
my cat, sorry.
Soup, I could talk to you and Mrs. Beasley for another hour, and I really...
Dude, I always talk too much.
No, you're great. Oh, never. I mean, I'd let it go, but it's...
Really?
You're fascinating.
Really?
Yeah, you are actually interesting. I mean, well, you do speak to people for a living trying to make them laugh. I mean, not for a living, right? But, like, you would do it for a living if you could.
No, and I appreciate you too, man. Dude, I'm telling you, I'm thinking, I got to listen to your show more often because I always feel in a good mood after.
Oh, well, that's good to hear. Yeah, I'm feeling way better than I did at the beginning.
Loaded.
Yeah, yeah.
I had coffee.
Me neither.
I had some coffee. I had no pills. I had no alcohol. I didn't put any white powder up my nose. And yeah, I feel good today. I'm feeling good.
So you're saying filter's like a natural high. That could be my tagline because I don't really have one yet. I have filter because I don't have one. And then filter, a natural high. Yeah.
A filter. That's so
there we
my,
go.
Yeah.
Filtered.
Oh man, and again, I always say this. My therapist in California, because I'd be crying, you know, because I had depression. I mean, I did, and anxiety, and just scared to death. And he didn't do a damn thing. He just sat and listened. And he'd say, Dave, I believe you're sorting through a lot of stuff. And I believe you have the answers. Well, I'm an addict alcoholic. I want the answers now. You take a bong hit, your reality is tainted. You take a hydrocodone that's not prescribed, you know, for a hangnail, your reality just changed. But in therapy, wow, it's a very humbling experience because for myself, it took a long time to... Oh, yeah, like Paul and I were saying, those are just the mega feels. I love that, mega feels. It's just feelings, you know?
Yeah.
20 years ago, oh, my God, I want to, you know, because I was suicidal my first probably 2 years being clean still, or 1 year or whatever. I mean, yeah. I was put in the hospital because I wanted to end my life, and I remember going, wait, I am